This is CliffCentral.com.
Carly and Moll.
What?
This is the last time we're playing this in 2018. Good morning.
I think there are lots of lasts that are going to come up very soon.
No, I am one of those corny people at the sum of the year. I recount everything. This is the last time we'll be doing this together. This is the second to last time we'll be doing this. Yeah, whatever. It's part of the corniness of ending off a year, getting into the Christmas spirit and starting a new year as well.
Yeah. Last time I'll have to drive to work. Ooh. Last time I'll see this same annoying taxi driver in his brown taxi that I always see.
Do you have some issues you'd like to get off your chest? Evidently. Good morning. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. This is the 21st of December 2018. My name is Siya Sangweni and this is Leanne Moll.
Hello.
Whose series going off? Why do your series go off all the time?
I don't know, but it's still recording you and it's called me Leanne Maher.
Oh. That's normal. I don't know why. Siri is the one thing that I don't really use on my iPhone. I forget about it. I switch it off because, for me, it's just like we actually mentioned it very briefly on yesterday's show. It's, for me, the whole trend of smart homes and how some people just want to boil the kettle from their bed with a push of a button and they want to, like, run their bath from bed as well. I'm like, well, Siri is just like Google. Go into your browser and Google something. It's just three more extra seconds of your life. Is this the height of human productivity, which actually means we're more lazy?
I agree with you.
That's the way I look at it.
I only use Siri for fun stuff sometimes.
Like trying to see if she can spell your surname.
Yeah, those sorts of things.
Well, if you haven't gotten the notice just yet, this is the last official show of the Gareth Cliff Show for 2018. What a bumper, jam-packed year it's been. And we're still here. We've survived.
We're here to tell the tale.
Poloni tried to kill us this year.
Oh, yes. Goodness me.
The Listeriosis.
The royal marriage, wedding, and then pregnancy now.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm seeing so much stuff about the baby bump. It's driving me mad.
Look, I'm a royal lover.
I know
but
you
it
are.
Is slightly nauseating as well.
Yeah. Now they're saying she's carrying really high because her baby bump is like right under her boobs instead of lower.
And what's the speculation there? Is it a boy or girl? Old
wives' tale is that higher up is a girl and lower down is a boy. But as any obstetrician will explain or gynecologist, genitalia on a baby has nothing to do with where it's positioned in the body. So it's got more to do with, it's two things really. If it's quite a big, long baby, it tends to sit higher up.
Ooh.
I suppose it knows it's going to grow and need some space down the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it starts making space at the top. And the other thing is the woman's body. If she has really strong abs, which Meghan Markle is rumored to love yoga, etc., maybe she does have strong abs, it'll sit higher up because the abs are actually holding everything in at the bottom, preventing the baby from dropping down right in the beginning.
But there are so many different book clubs and groups of people at pubs who are betting on this right now, so don't really tell them that. They're looking at baby bump things and going, okay, yeah, we know what the gender is. Yeah, they've put in money. They're just waiting for it. I don't even remember when the babies.
They said
going to be born in April,
UK spring.
Which is our
autumn. Which is after this season.
Just before winter. Okay.
By process of elimination.
Yes, so around May, April.
But they say this, speaking of lasts of 2018, this is the last time we'll see her bump because she now goes into celebrating Christmas and will disappear from the limelight for a while. So the next time we'll see it is next year.
Well, Christmas as well. I know we're so royal crazy, but whatever. I was reading an article on the royal traditions around Christmas, and supposedly the woman will rumoredly stay in bed on Christmas morning, and they'll have the article I was reading said a light breakfast of like some scrambled eggs or some grapefruit, while the men will all meet at the dining room table and they'll have a meatier, heartier breakfast of like bangers and like a lot of fried things. And
I'm sorry, I would
meat.
I'm like, if that was the case, I would bind my boobs and put a banana in my pants and join them at the big table.
No, but I really don't even understand where this rumor comes from. And the angle of this article was like, oh, how Harry and Meghan continue to break traditions. And I'm like, what? There's even a breakfast tradition? Do you know how hungry I get, whether I'm man or woman? I'd be like, screw that, yeah. I'm going to the kitchen.
I don't care if there's turkey coming for lunch. I still want some breakfast, man, not a flipping grapefruit.
Yeah, I really don't care about it. But anyway, so yeah, so many things happening in the royal household. I don't know what's going to come out of the next couple of weeks. Supposedly, Meghan is also pushing for Prince Harry to do interviews, for him to stand up for her in the light of what has been going on in the past few weeks. Let's see what happens there. But I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward over this Christmas break to actually step away from all of the news, step away from social mm-hmm. media for a while, step away from all of the hub and the bub of yeah. the world and just relax.
Yeah, I think for someone who's in a very corporate career, it might be the opposite. It's, you know, time for them to have some fun on Pinterest and Instagram and look up their interests if they're watch collectors and that sort of thing, you know. It might be, but yeah, I'm with you. I just want to shut everything down.
Well, you still have that client.
I know, I do.
So,
I said I want to shut everything down.
Got you. That's the operative term.
Yeah.
Because I was actually relaying this to a friend who was thinking, oh, see, it's such a small thing. Of course you can do it. But I thought, I was trying to explain that part of my job every single day is to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that means seeing trends on Twitter, seeing what's viral on Facebook, seeing what someone has posted that might be newsworthy on Instagram. And you get so involved in other people's lives and other people's mess. That's how invested you are, because you have to. And you think, oh, actually, this is not good. That really isn't good. So even if you tried for a week and have tried it over weekends during the year to go, okay, well, this weekend I won't use social media. Well, best believe at least by Monday morning at 5 a.m. before you go on at 6, you need to know what's going on. So that is really, really what I'm looking forward to the most.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's for you, it would be de-stressing, right? In a way.
Yes. Yes.
Because it's something that you have to do every day. And that's important, Sia. Young Sia, because
talk to the bags under my eyes if you're talking about stress. Go on.
Because it's been revealed globally that 1 in 4 people will have a stroke at age 25 or older.
1 in 4.
Yes. So out of you and 3 mates.
What is Dr. Mole? What is stroke predominantly caused by?
Well, you get different types of strokes. You get something called a first-time stroke risk. You get I don't know how to pronounce it, it must be ischemic stroke. And then the one that I know most about is the hemorrhagic stroke. But it used to be something that you thought only old people had.
Yes.
No, it's really quite scary how the risk of suffering a stroke from age 25 onwards is 24.9% up from 22.8% in 1990. Yes, it's stress-related. It's obviously got to do a lot with too much drinking, too much smoking, too much weight. But a lot of the time, strokes just happen to anyone, anywhere, any age, any time, for any reason.
Look, and I know if they do just happen, as you're saying, at any time or any age or whatever reason, that's all good and well. And I know a lot of people who are very lazy when it comes to looking after themselves, and they'll go, well, it will just happen like that. Well, no. If it is something about eating better and you can prevent that, do it. If it is something about taking care of yourself and gymming a bit, do it. Like, we can't not prioritize our health and safety. So it's scary that now the age has lowered a bit.
And also, if you have had a family member who's had a stroke, it's a good idea to go for an MRI, and often medical aid will pay for that, considering the familial tie. But we're not in such bad waters, because overall the regions with the highest risk of stroke are East Asia, number one.
And that's where, like, these high numbers of people living until they're in their hundreds come from.
Central Europe and Eastern Europe. Only the United States is mentioned after that. Those greatest at risk, particularly, are men in China and women in Latvia. So I'm scanning this list for, you know, where's Africa? The risk of stroke in Central Asia, Southern and Tropical Latin America, Asia Pacific, and Southern Sub-Saharan Africa, that's definitely us, decreased significantly between 1990 and 2016. Sub-Saharan Africa has the lowest risk of stroke. There you go.
Okay.
As he clutches his chest. Stroke happens in the brain, see ya?
All right.
Clutch your head.
That is a heart attack. All right. Okay. Clutching my head.
But yeah, so there we go. There's a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel to that story.
Yeah, once again, I just do want to reiterate, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't prioritize our health, whether it's mental health, physical health. It's scary to look at stats like this. But you mentioned medical aid also very briefly. My sister was actually telling me last week, she goes, have you really looked at your medical aid?
Benefits.
And, yeah. Offers and what is free and what you're able to get at a reduced rate. And I'm not one to really, really get sick. I think about it. I actually, knock on wood, and thankfully, I haven't seen a doctor in a year and some change. And she says, like, you know, what she really recently noticed with her medical aid is that, like, therapy for her was free. And if
we say free, we're essentially paying for it monthly.
And so rather utilize it than carry on paying for something that, you know, you don't make use of. And so, and if she were to be diagnosed for something, a mental issue, and she needed medication, that would be at a reduced rate. And she says, look at your package and just find out what you can get. Because, you know, sometimes we are stressing about something. Sometimes we might not think we need to go for therapy, and it's right there in front of us. So why not make use of it? And so that's actually something I'm going to be thinking about over the next couple of days.
It's actually a good idea, because medical aids can be so difficult to understand. Payment gaps and just drives me insane. But the one thing that I found helpful is having a broker or a liaison who works with medical aids. And you literally send everything to that person and they sort it out. But yeah, don't ever think that you can just drop medical aid.
For the big
things, it's so helpful. I mean, if you end up in hospital for some reason, for something that you really didn't expect would happen.
Yeah.
You'll find most medical aids are surprisingly amazing.
Yeah.
I look at my mom's situation. She had a stroke, a hemorrhagic stroke, year before this year. So last year, I keep thinking it's like 2019 already.
Sorry, that like got me thinking. Year before last, minus the two. Yes, okay.
She was in ICU for, I think, 9 months with a hospital bill of going into 2 million and everything was covered.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, people are truly, truly grateful.
Yeah.
That's where you'll see your medical aid serving you the best. And it's good to have for those reasons.
See the good things in life. Just relax, guys. And I don't want to not tempt anyone's fate as well. But, you know, this time of the year, I was speaking to Aus Jane, who works here, because she's already taken some time off. She says her little one, who's, I think, like just about to be 2 years old, was out with the other kids and playing. And then she tripped and fell and had to go to the emergency room. I already know of two people who've been in car accidents already who've had to visit the hospital. So you just don't want extra stress this festive season.
No, definitely not. It's the worst time of the year for that. It really is. I don't know why my head is filled with all these stats today, but mm-hmm. yeah, I read something as well recently.
Get them all out, and it's the last show of the year. You'll have to keep quiet until the 7th.
I read that women in particular, it was a story about keeping fit and also maintaining your balance, like your literal balance, so that you don't fall over. Doing exercises to ensure that you're able to do that.
Okay.
Because more women die from falls than breast cancer, apparently. Like falling and hurting yourself really badly, breaking your hip, you know. It's quite a common thing.
I don't know why that freaks me out so much. But about, you know, I don't mind getting older. I don't care. I don't care to have arthritis one day. I don't care to live in an old age home. I don't care to die when I'm 75 or 80, whatever the case is. But there's something about how your body doesn't recover well when you are old that freaks me out. My worst is hearing old people say, oh, well, you know, I had a hip replacement 10 years ago and they can still feel pain. Oh, freaks me out. So when people die of falling, you think that's not like getting an knife to your heart, that's just falling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I know.
Quite scary.
Yeah. How did you get to this point again?
Gosh, who knows?
I don't know. So we thought, you know, today is Friday, the last official show of the Gareth Cliff Show for the year. And also, as we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, it's No Politics Friday.
Nice. Perfect.
So, and also it's Christmas. I mean, it's the perfect crossroads, really, of a happy day. So let's just get a bit of news out of the way for now. And then a little later on, we'll be chatting to Nathan Rowe from The Unview, from so many other things as well. He's been doing a lot this year, from his music to also being behind the scenes on a couple of productions. So yeah, we'll get him in as we chat about the biggest stories of 2018, some of the fun viral trends that have occurred in 2018, and just the year that was this year. So as much as we have survived listeriosis and so on and mm-hmm. so forth, but there are other fun and cool things as well to talk about. But I know, as much as it is No Politics Friday, I'm just itching to get the story out of the way very quickly, because it came in, and as Gareth would say, it was breaking news. It came in while we were on air yesterday. And I saw the headline at first and I thought, what? And so I was trying to very quickly Google during the show, but I wasn't finding enough information on this. But it seems it is, as crazy as the story sounds, very, very real. It was a GoFundMe account set up by a former veteran in the United States for someone, I don't know if this money is going directly to Trump, but someone in the United States to build the wall that Trump is talking about. And as we briefly discussed yesterday, yesterday was Thursday, our time, but already it was Wednesday evening in the States. And by Wednesday evening, the GoFundMe account had already reached $2 million.
Gee whiz. So there are really people out there who are all for this and think that it's going to become a reality. Well, that they're making moves to make it a reality.
Yes. So quite frankly, he is a triple amputee Air Force veteran. And this guy's also a motivational speaker. And he is reaching out to 63 million Americans who voted for President Donald Trump to only just chip in $80 a piece for the border wall. Now, the total would meet Trump's request for $5 billion to build a wall along the U.S. southern border with Mexico. And they'll even just, if all 63 million Americans who voted for Trump chipped in $80, they'd even have $40 million to spare. So Trump said on Wednesday, amid all of this debate over potential government shutdown, that Mexico would indirectly pay for the wall via a trade deal and that the U.S. military would build it. So Brian Colvage is his name. He is the guy who set up the GoFundMe page. He said, even if we get half, that's half the wall. We can do this. And so he writes on the GoFundMe page, which had raised more than $8 million from 100,000 donors as of Thursday evening.
Jeez. Man, oh man. Okay. Reasons to be grateful for being here.
Is it as much of a tough pill to swallow for you as it is for me as well?
No, it's bizarre. It's almost as bizarre as prepping for Armageddon. or a zombie apocalypse?
Because I don't know why this bothers me so much. I think it bothers me because I respect whatever anyone believes. I think everyone is entitled to believe what they want to believe. And if you voted for Trump and you think he's amazing, go for gold. And it's just more a shock of reality to realize that actually there are people who not only believe in Trump and they will talk the talk, but they will walk the walk. There are people who avidly want to see people separated, people suffer. Well, even if their intention isn't to make other people suffer, they don't really care about that because they believe in so much of Trump's ideals and what he preaches that they are taking action. And so often, and yes, it is my own bias, but so often with a lot of negativity that goes on, whether it's spewed from Trump or the Oval Office and the White House in this current presidency, on the other side of the scale, people who say they want to do good, people who say they believe in good are almost very, I wouldn't say naive in what they do, what they say, but they're almost wishful and they're very laxed in what they do. As opposed to people so often on the negative side of things who will be so aggressive in what they do.
They'll take a physical stand.
They will make things happen. You know, this is how you get dictators who run things. That's how you got, you know, like all of these people who do evil things, who act on it. You look at gun violence right now, and that's a dramatic example. But, you know, what's his name? Dylan Roof sat and he thought, well, I want to kill those people in the church. And he walked into that church in Charleston and he killed people. Whereas people who oppose gun violence, yes, I know they are trying to make a difference and get acts signed. But a large chunk of those people are just sitting around dinner tables going, oh, I wish gun laws would change.
Yeah, they're not doing anything about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So there you go. Brian, who sat around, he said he got the idea about a year ago to start this GoFundMe page. And then he decided to move forward with it this past Sunday because he thought, well, there's not enough action from our politicians. And then he even says that he's quite surprised by the amount of money that he's been able to raise. He says that he's been receiving thousands of emails from citizens who have waited in line to become Americans and completed the process the legal way. They are so thankful for this. So they are giving, and they are from both sides of the aisle, he says, and that's why this movement is growing so fast. So yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
I don't know. Brian lost both legs and his right hand in Iraq, by the way. And he says that $1 billion is GoFundMe's max and he's working to have it increased. The most successful GoFundMe effort to date has raised more than $22 million. And counting in the last year of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund, which provides counsel to victims of sexual abuse and harassment. So, okay then.
Maybe it'll beat that.
It is what it is. I don't know.
Well, there's also someone putting money behind something about Trump, but it's for the opposite reason that that this guy is out for. EnviroBuild, a sustainable building materials company, they've actually paid $25,000 at an auction for the right to name a certain creature after Trump.
You see, this is... Okay, go on.
It's a blind creature that buries its head in the sand. It's also legless and small. It's an amphibian, and its behavior, according to the people who've all banded together to get this right, the amphibian's behavior has been compared to Trump's approach to global warming, putting his head in the sand type thing. So this little amphibian, this burrower, is to be officially named Dermophis Donald Trumpy, with an I at the end.
I don't know why, but that actually sounds kind of cool. Dermophis Donald Trumpy. It's a Trumpy. Okay.
It was found in Panama, and EnviroBuild's Aiden Bell says its ability to bury its head in the ground matches Donald Trump's approach to global warming. But there's even even before that, there was a moth that was named after Donald Trump.
Oh, goodness.
He had a yellow crown. And he is called Neopulpa Donald Trumpy as well, also with the I at the end. And there's also a poisonous furry caterpillar and a golden plumed You try to say golden plumed pheasants.
Golden plumed.
Plumed. Not pewed. his plumes on his head, you know, at the top.
So his
not the other plume.
No. We are sure you know vodka was consumed this morning. A golden plumed
pheasant.
Pheasant. Okay, that's it. Well, I don't mean to paint everyone in the same brush once again, but if this is the response to you not liking Trump, and you think rather name something after him that hides its head in the sand, rather than try to change laws or go and sign a referendum or something,
yeah,
then I think we need to, you know, relook at what we do in this world.
Yeah. Here we go.
Anyway, yeah, that's our take on No Politics Friday.
Yeah.
We lasted all of like 2 minutes trying not to do
it. We really, really tried.
Yeah, to try and fail is better than to fail to try, Leanne Moll.
There you go.
So, hey, just in time for the festive season, are you tired of not knowing how much data you've consumed in the month? Look, it's a first world problem, let me tell you that, but it's something we all struggle with. Well, now, with Telkom Lit Bundles, you can now stream Cliff Central and other streaming services for a fixed cost. What a breath of fresh air. All you have to simply do is dial *180# from your Telkom phone and select Telkom Lit Bundles under the Free Me option. Your future is lit with this game changer from Telkom, because a series binger, a playlist connoisseur, the ultimate movie buff, access music services, TV series, movies, games, and YouTube without using your data. That's all with the Telkom Lit Bundle. Your future's lit with this game changer from Telkom. Very cool. Are you ready to get into the five things that you need to know this morning?
Yes, please.
Let's get into it. So starting off with the first thing that you need to know this morning, this is quite interesting. South African tourism has released its latest performance statistics for 2018, which indicates a 1.7% growth compared to last year's figures. That's some good news. SA Tourism's analytics indicate that 8.6 million international tourists have visited South Africa this year, and stats also show that African land and air arrivals have shown a 6.8% rise, with most arrivals, isn't this interesting, coming from Angola, the DRC, and Ghana.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that also means some business between African countries.
It will, certainly.
Mm. SA Tourism CEO C. Sanjona says while there has been growth, improvements can be made. However, he says a number of barriers such as visa regulations and issues around traveling with minors keep people from visiting the country. He says the water crisis and drought in Cape Town also sent a negative message around the world. And unfortunately, now that the dams are 70% full, it does not make front page news. So we have to kind of remind the world that we are open for business and they must still come through.
Well, what was really cool about that is that Cape Town was named the best destination in the world. So that would have helped if not talking about the dam levels.
Yeah.
But that was very recent, so it's all good and it seems like it's all on the app.
I saw that. This is the great type of publicity that we need and we love. Yeah,
and it's the truth, let's be honest.
True. Well, and as well, second story that you need to know this morning, Transport Minister Blade Nzimande. Actually, when I read the story a little earlier, it reminded me that Blade is now in transport. I'd forgotten that.
That's right.
I still think of him as Minister of Higher Education, but I digress. Our Transport Minister, Blade Nzimande, says that excessive speeding and drunk driving are among the most common road violations recorded this festive season so far. The minister provided an update on the road accident statistic in Pretoria, where he revealed that 67 people have lost their lives on the roads this month. Oh, isn't that scary to think about for a moment? Nzimande says that many South African motorists remain stubbornly disrespectful of the rules of the road. Says the most prevalent violations on our roads include excessive speeding, reckless and negligent driving, which includes, by the way, drunken driving, and blatant disregard of road signs. He says more than a third of arrested motorists were found to be drunk. And in his direct quote, he says the officers arrested more than 2,837 motorists and 1,109 of them were arrested for drunken driving. The festive season technically ends after the weekend of the 5th of January 2019.
I saw, I've been enjoying these maps recently that show interesting stats about countries in the world and incomes and all sorts of cool things. Mm-hmm. And South Africa is really, really high up on the list of road fatalities. Oof. And, you know, we've come to kind of accept it. I mean, I remember driving the roads with my parents as a little girl going on holiday. And even then, counting, you know, reading the newspapers and counts were going and ticking over of how many people were dying on the roads. And we've kind of accepted that it's normal.
Mm.
We've, you know, it's just like, oh, this must happen all over the place. No, South Africa is bizarrely high when it comes to drunk drivers, fatalities, pedestrian deaths.
And just because it's part of the norm doesn't make it right.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, our transport department seems to be trying their best and Arrive Alive and all of this to do something about it. But are we really seeing a difference yet?
Mm. Yo, I still remember one of the greatest ads around this was that Papa Wach vir jou ad.
Woo! Oh, yes.
I think it was Arrive Alive or like the Drive, what's it called? Drive Dry initiative, which is anti-drinking and driving. I don't know what it was, but the reality of that, it was the whole TV commercials and billboards around inmates, these scary-looking inmates, saying like, okay, cool, do what you got to do, and then I'm waiting for you.
Drive drunk.
Yeah.
Do what you need.
Then come here. I've saved you a spot. It's Papa, wak vir jou. I'm like, no, Papa, I don't want you. I wasn't even driving at that stage, but I remember that left an impact on me. But talking about driving as well, a third story that you need to know this morning related to the second. The Johannesburg mayor's office has condemned the attack on JMPD officers during roadblocks. This comes after a female officer was allegedly shot on Wednesday during a roadblock in Bromfontein. It's understood so far that Officer Zintle Ngokoza,
battling with that one, Sia.
NKQONQOZA. Ngonoza. Okay.
Ronnie got it.
Second moment. Okay. It's understood so far. Officer Zintle Ngonoza came under fire after suspects in a white BMW shot at her while trying to escape a roadblock. How insane. The officer sustained a flesh wound on her shoulder and received medical treatment at Mill Park Hospital, but the acting mayoral spokesperson, Ulebogeng,
here he goes.
Ulebogeng, listen to that. Mulatwa says that the mayor would like to reiterate that it's high time that the rule of law is instilled in the city of Johannesburg and the rest of the country. Mayor Herman Mashaba has often spoken about the need to act decisively against criminality and lawlessness. Like, what is wrong with you when you have been found to be in the wrong and you think, well, sorry, people of authority, let me just try to
shoot my way out of this.
Yeah. No, man, there's no excuse at all for that. Fourth story that you need to know this morning, it's quite scary, but I'm sure now you might have heard of this story so far. It's the search for a 9-year-old Delft girl who continues yesterday and today as well. Linati Tijala went missing on Sunday, and she's believed to have gone missing while walking from her grandmother's house to her mother's home. And the houses are just 3 doors apart.
Wow.
The police's Frederick van Wyk said at the time of her disappearance, she was last seen wearing a black pair of skinny jeans, a grey top with laces, and intensive searches were done by policemen, Metro Police, and community organizations without any success. So she's 9 years old and she went missing on the 16th of December. She was last seen on her way to her parents' house at approximately 10 a.m. She was wearing black skinny jeans, a grey top, lace back, and black slippers. And if you have any information on this, if you are in the Delft area or you know anyone there, there's actually a number for that, and that's 084-498-0696. So quite a scary thing. Only 3 houses separate them, and somehow something happened to this young girl, 9 years old, and it's quite sad.
Mm.
And the last story that you need to know this morning, Uber Technologies Incorporated announced yesterday that they're resuming limited self-driving car testing on public roads. This is all happening in Pittsburgh, which is 9 months after it suspended the program following a deadly accident in Arizona. So the return of testing comes days after the state of Pennsylvania granted Uber permission to resume testing. The relaunch is a significant reduction from Uber's previous self-driving operations. The company had operated its fleet in autonomous mode on public roads at high speeds, after dark, in crowded areas with pedestrians, and with a single backup driver in the front seat. But this time, they say cars will not operate at night or in wet weather and will not exceed speeds of 25 miles per hour. I kind of get why they did it in all of these various territories, because that is what testing reality, is. Yeah. But at the same time, you can't be killing us. Can't you just like... Can't they do it on like a random plot of land? And
but then there'll be no real test.
Well, they use mannequins as people.
I don't know, Sia.
No, sorry.
I don't know.
Am I like bringing up a brainwave?
Maybe it picks up pedestrians by body heat.
Oh, then just heat the mannequins up, guys. Are y'all telling me we have to use real people?
I'm so
for
glad
testing?
You're not a scientist.
I would be an amazing scientist. I'd literally save lives. I mean, they're saying, oh, well, we can't do any testing because, well, we can't
save lives and boil mannequins.
Can't kill people. That is so odd. But anyway, those are the five things that you need to know this morning. Yikes. It's so odd. Can someone actually employ me on this? I have great advice to give on the five things that you need to know this morning. Well, Gareth is away and Ben is away as well. So no crypto update and also no sports update. I guess we could, between the two of us, be able to manage a crypto update, but I will not even be able to
try
anything sports related right now, Leanne. Let's just save our own behinds on this. But rather, let's focus on some good news and move on to some happiness. And I hope we only have happy news going into the festive season. Leanne, I actually brought the story up just for you this morning. Because I think it's quite cool. What we often read about what's going on down under in Australia. This is quite cool because they realize this time of the year and people are taking a lot of road trips and they'll be busy on the roads. But also they're factoring in that a large number of accidents on the road are caused by animals who are just innocently minding their own business and they're trying to cross. And so often, even for the animal, ending up hurt or dead. It's all horrible, really. So I love this. There's an innovative new conservation effort in Australia, which is now dramatically reducing the amount of wildlife that are killed by cars and passing traffic. So researchers have been testing a virtual fence system that alerts animals to oncoming vehicles. How cool is this? So the system involves installing small alarm units at 80 feet intervals, that's what they say, along the edge of a road. So when the alarm detects a car, they begin to emit sirens and flashing lights so that animals will be discouraged from approaching the highway. And additionally, since the units are faced away from the road, they don't interfere with the person's driving. So it's not as if you might be driving on a road at night and all you see are these flashing lights. Exactly. Wouldn't exactly work out at all.
That's very clever.
So the virtual fence technology involves small devices, approximately the size of a phone, that are just mounted on a pole on the side of the road, which are triggered by car headlights when they hit a sensor in the device. This is what Samantha Fox, who's one of the researchers who's leading the project, is saying. Samantha goes on to say, this sets off blue and yellow flashing lights and a high-pitched siren, and these together warn local wildlife that a car's coming and give the animal time to move away from the road. I think this is so cool. According to a study published in Australian Mammalogy last month, the system reduced rates of roadkill by a whopping 50%.
Oh, brilliant.
So I think if not, why not?
I suppose it's until they get used to it. But then but then they'll have to learn the hard way.
No.
I.e., when I hear and see these lights, something's going to happen.
It means let me stay away.
Yeah.
I actually think it's cool. Look, I think
it's amazing. I mean, it must, you know, it's basically in its testing phases, really, because I'm sure it would cost a bomb to line these long roads And if you think about implementing it in South Africa as well.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine lining the road from Joburg to Cape Town with those. It would cost an absolute fortune.
Exactly. I think we're such a long time away from this, particularly in South Africa. But I think, hey, Australia, you have the budgets, you have the funds, you have the researchers to do this, then why not? I think it's cool.
Yes.
That's your Sit by CF for this morning.
Oh, I like it.
And the last Sit by CF for the year.
Oh my gosh, he's getting sentimental again. What am I going to do with him?
I really love this. I love this time of year, the year. I love getting to count things down. I love certain things. So my first group of guests staying over the festive season are arriving tonight. My sister and my niece are coming. And I've already planned things.
Are they staying with you?
Yes.
For how long?
I know. I'm still trying to be very optimistic with this, so please just don't, like...
Because it's going to be very exciting on the first day.
I should just yet, yes. So my what I love about my family is we're very realistic about things. So they're going to be staying with... They'll technically be in Johannesburg for 2 weeks, but we're also very realistic about, you know, how things go and how we feel about each other, because, and, you know, we're very vocal.
You won't inconvenience each other.
Yeah, and we're very vocal if something has upset us, or when we're annoyed, or when we've overstepped the line.
You speak about yourselves like you're this kind of species that nobody's heard of before.
I think it's quite refreshing, as I was saying a little earlier, now with my sister, who has just started going for therapy, just to, not that she has any issues or anything, just for...
Everyone should.
Yeah, just to have a good balance. So she now has these slightly annoying terms that she's learned from her therapist that she now is teaching all of us as her siblings.
Oh,
so
yeah.
In phone calls or something, she'll say, I did not appreciate that. And I cannot take that right now. And I'm like, what are you saying? Or then we'll say something
yeah,
to upset
you,
her.
Yeah, because you do that instead of saying you are annoying.
Or just like flare up with emotion. The other term that she loves to use is she says, Sia, my mind right now has a gate and I have chosen to let you in, but I can easily choose to kick you out.
I'm
like, what is going on? So with all of her therapy talk as well, she's advised one of my sisters who lives in the city is also away, and she's left a key with me to her place. And so she said, you know what, I think for every so often, I'll also dip into her place and, you know, a stretch of 3 days, I can, you know, stay in her place where she isn't there, and I can join you guys a little later. Mm. So, you know, just to be able to have some breathing room as well. And if I want to do my own things, that's fine.
But of course, you know, the way to do it is to say, I think you guys need some time alone.
Oh, I don't care to be PC with this. I'm just like, girl, get out of here. That's it. So those are some of the things I'm looking forward to over the next couple of days. I know you said your family is getting smaller every single year, but do you have any Christmas traditions that you do religiously every single year? Do you?
You know, the biggest thing about our Christmas is actually my dad's birthday. And no, my dad isn't Jesus. My dad's birthday is on Christmas Day, so we usually make quite a big thing of it.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's quite cool.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, and we generally travel. We, you know, go to the coast or to Cape Town or somewhere for a bit of a holiday, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But no other big traditions. We tend to eat a lot and then sleep, which is like most species.
This is like a lot of people this time of year.
Like I really couldn't imagine going on a cruise or something like that.
See, but it's also not... I ask particularly in families, and I guess you can also let us know by sending us a message 079-748-2098, or you can actually tweet us as well at cliffcentral.com. If you have any interesting family traditions this time of the year, I'd be interested to find out what those are. You know, like Gareth and his family do the annual carols.
Yeah.
Yes. And like with our family, it started even while I was a child. And these aren't spectacular at all, but in Durban, the municipality does make a bit of an effort this time of the year to decorate the city accordingly for Christmas. So I remember we all used to pile in into the car, and because we have quite a, you know, a big family, there's like four kids between my parents, and we all had cousins, and you know, my aunts and uncles around. So it would be like this convoy, and we all drove around the city looking at the lights and looking at the decorations. Then we'd stop on the side of the road and we'd pose in front of these corny lights, and that was just our thing. And I actually now hate that we were getting older and all like teenager and moody with my parents, and actually told them to stop, because I think it was quite cute.
Yeah, when it became non-cool.
Yeah, I think the last time we did it was probably like 14, and that was around the first year we had the first new set of babies in our family. So those are my niece and nephew, my parents' grandkids. And so they took, I remember like my niece was, I think, 3 months old, and strapped them into the car and took them around. I'm like, these 3 months old, you can't even keep your head up straight. Like, they are not understanding what you're doing right now. But for my parents,
they were probably so excited to reenact the tradition.
And that's it. For a 3 month old, didn't exactly work. At least now my nieces and nephew understand and recognize it. So we were actually thinking of starting something like that this time around. We're thinking of, like, you know, going to Melrose Arch, because that's all beautifully decorated. Yes. This time of year. So yeah, it's quite cute and cool all at the same time with this time of year. Yeah, I love it. Michelle on Telegram says, "Hi you two, last of the last. Thanks as for coming back to make us laugh about the..." Sorry. No, I'm laughing at this. "Thank you for making us laugh about the epic fart in the elephant and castle."
Is that still going?
It's
the elephant fart and castle.
It's quite legendary. "And thank you, Sia, for getting into your robe and drinking wine at 2 a.m. when your neighbor starts praying. Love you and your work. Have a good off, Michelle." Now,
oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
I love this. I think, you know, being in a robe is a way of life. My unofficial motto for summer is, the days become longer and your pants become shorter.
Yes.
I believe in short shorts right now.
Yes, you've got quite a tidy pair of...
Not tidy whities.
No, they're not tidy. They're tidy darkies. Yes.
I believe in shorts this time of the year. Robe is gone. I still do believe in a great drink. And also, actually, what I haven't updated you guys on is the fact that I'm now familiar with this neighbor who prays in tongues at 2 a.m.
Oh, okay. So you familiar, but not befriending.
No. You don't befriend someone who wakes up at 2 a.m. Next thing, he'll knock on my door and say, "Let's pray together." No, too much to ask for.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's actually just one of the odd things that are going on in my complex. And then Ken_I on Twitter says, "Gord Laws, dude, what happened on Wednesday? Where are you making appearances?" Well, Gord actually took also an early holiday, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Cape Town over the weekend. And so he'll be joining us from the 7th of Jan. So how long will we actually be off for?
You know, it sounds long, but it'll go so quickly.
Only 2 weeks.
Yeah, you see.
Only 2 weeks. That's two weeks and we'll be back on the 7th of Jan. So it's all good. Funda says, "Final live morning show for 2018 on CliffCentral.com. Tune in and close off in style." Well, we always say, even though we are aware, we'll be having tons of cool replays as well. There are very cool shows that are scheduled. If you've missed any of the shows that we've produced and created this year, well, this is also time to catch up. As much as there's always podcasts that are nice and convenient for you, if you are listening live on any time of the day, we won't be completely off. We'll be doing replays and stretches of replays. The likes of our podcast series, we'll be playing back to back, whether it's Smart Money, any of the series that we've created this year. And also, we have a few special gems as well that we'll be airing live. The likes of the annual 80 show that goes on every single year by Dory and Paula, that will be aired as well. So some cool things coming on. And then Michelle also says, "Okay, I have a theory as to why I fall quite often." She says, "I have very small feet for my height and my balance is short. I'm going for my..." I can't even read this because I'm cringing. Michelle says she's going for her third shoulder surgery in January. And she's blaming her feet. Okay, Michelle.
Oh, it can happen.
A third shoulder injury? That sounds like...
See, once you've damaged something, it's fragile.
Oh, that sounds like the biggest anar of all anars. You see, I don't like... Have you ever broken anything?
Yeah.
What did you break?
I've broken my nose.
Ooh.
In quite a few places.
How?
Snapped the septum in half.
Okay, cool.
Shall I continue? I've broken my hand. I've broken ribs.
Ooh. Why did I even ask at this point?
Oh, I've broken my teeth. What else? But no, no big snap in half forearm or anything like that.
Well, it's bad enough to break your nose. Speaking of your health issues, any updates on your sleep apnea?
Oh, yes. I must tell you.
What a segue, but okay.
So I am going on the 3rd of January for a sleep test. So I'll be sleeping overnight at a facility. Mm-mm. I'm petrified, okay, because... I've got this idea that they're going to be watching me through one-way glass or something.
Okay, so I don't mean to freak you out, but I've seen a little YouTube video of someone who went for a sleep test.
Yes.
And she went in the middle of the day, and for her it was just like a two-hour nap thing.
Oh, yeah.
And you go and you lie in a bed. It's a great bed, and it's all made up, and they line you up with little wires and whatnot.
Yeah.
And yes, people watch you through a one-way
Yeah,
mirror, so I think they record your body.
I think that's what's going to happen. So it's all in the good faith of diagnosing properly sleep apnea, mm-hmm. which is the closing of the back of your throat as you fall asleep, and can lead to a whole lot of terrible things. But yeah, I'm going for the full test, full night. So I go at 6 o'clock at night. I've already chosen from my menu what I'd like for dinner.
Oh, you get served there as well?
Yeah.
Oh, yummy. Okay.
I'm just hoping that, because I mean, usually I fall asleep on a bit of wine. And this isn't going to happen there. I'm in a doctor's room, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they offer people something to help them fall asleep, because you're in a strange environment.
Yes.
You've got all of these electrodes stuck to you.
Actually, you and I
You've
were talking...
You've got machines beeping around you.
Yeah, you and I were talking about this on Tuesday. Like, how do you fall asleep
yes.
very easily? So what if, you know, like me, I need tons of pillows. Do they accommodate you like that? Do they accommodate you with wine? What if you love watching TV from bed to fall asleep?
I'm also quite scared that they might be quite judgmental. Because it's also for people who suffer from insomnia or battling to fall asleep, etc.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, if they knew my routine, my cell phone bright lights in my face until I fall asleep, 50 cats on my head, they talk about sleep hygiene. I mean, I've got animals all over the place. I think that they would really judge me.
I don't want to give you more to think about, but it is a... You're spending a full night of sleep there.
Yes.
A full night of sleep, and you think about someone's watching you all the time.
And plus, I'm there because of this... massive snoring and gulping and gasping for air. It's really not a pretty thing.
Think about what if you snore a bit?
I'm going to. Like my brother said, geez, they've got their work cut out for them.
What if your mouth is open halfway through it? What if you like fart in your sleep?
When one sphincter relaxes as you're drifting off.
And I am saying I don't want to give you more to stress about. But if this is for... your general better wellness.
It is. Well, I'm blushing already.
No.
Okay, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be tough, but I'll get through it. And only 5 days later, I'll report back. Mm-hmm. Although I believe it takes up to 3 weeks for the test results to come out properly.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
In a very odd way, I feel like this might be the place where you meet someone who you'll date for a while as well.
No, look,
it's a judgment.
It's just me
zone.
And the sleep doctor.
Yeah, what if you fall in love with the sleep doctor?
I've
heard of weirder things.
No, please, you're making it even more awkward.
Okay.
I've already thought of what I'm going to wear, you know.
What will you wear? What do you mean you're going to sleep? What do you mean thinking of what you'll wear?
Well, making sure I've got decent PJs. You know, it's like going into
a
hospital.
Right, okay. Yeah. Don't wear your... favorite Barney or Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse top and Bart Simpson shorts or whatever.
Not working.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you for that update, Leon Moore.
So yeah, I think lots of stuff comes out of it, which is really cool. So I'll be sure to share all the results
yeah. let's learn, that's it, and be better humans. So that's a wrap on the first of the Gareth Cliff Show. It's Leanne and I taking over the show for the last time this year. I said at the beginning, we were thinking about who defines happiness and Christmassy and music and fun, and we thought of Nathan Rowe, and he's been all over the place over the past couple of weeks, very, very busy, but he decided to spend our last show with us, and I think that's awesome. So
he'll be
coming in from 7. We'll be chatting about some of the biggest stories of the year, some of the funnest and funniest trends of 2018, and let's get his take on it. And also, because he's such a great muso, we also want to hear his take on some of the great Christmas songs. And on that note, because I was watching what Gareth was playing this year, he played everything except this.
But Mariah.
Now we're in Christmas.
Now you're talking.
This is CliffCentral.com.